to the Rad Rabbit Hole. I'm Chris Baker. Week fucking 9, 10. I really don't know what we're in, but we are in college football playoff ranking week. It's week one for those rankings. We're going to get right into talking about that here in a second. Before we do, be sure to subscribe, like, comment on this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on Spotify, follow us on Spotify. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Bakus here, at PrestonCool405, and at Jake Cart, and at Rabbit Hole Pod, or whatever the hell it is on Twitter. Thank you for watching and listening. Got lots to talk about this week. College football playoff rankings just came out. We had a big weekend in college football. Not big, not huge, huge, but a solid weekend. And I mean, it's week one of college football playoff rankings, which are the ones that matter, the ones that we've been talking about. I think we actually even mentioned it last week, saying like, none of this matters. AP doesn't matter. That it all gets tossed out the window the second today happens. And today's here. What else is here is Jake. If everyone notices, Jake is wearing a hoodie. What else is here? I also have a hooded shirt, heavy shirt on. And what's here is fall. Fall is officially here. Fall is upon us. We have reached the days where, and I know here in Oklahoma City next week, it's going to be in the 70s. But for the time being, the last week, fall has been here. It's been like 45 to 55 and maybe even peaking up on that 60 range. But it's been fucking beautiful. I love it. I love being able to put a long sleeve on and not break a sweat. Jake, I know, is out there. He's in the tundra right now. And he's reporting live. Well, not live, but you know what I mean. College football playoff rankings. Preston. Number eight, dude. Number fucking eight. You said we just before we got on, you had mentioned that you didn't think you'd be top four, but you were surprised about number eight. Let's hear your initial thoughts, because I think that's the one that sticks out on everyone. We'll talk about a couple more, but that's the one that kind of sticks out. That's where everyone was like, "All right, what are they going to do with OU?"
Yeah, I mean, look, they have the backloaded schedule to propel them into the top four easily if they win out. Like, if OU wins out, they're going to be in the playoffs. That's 100%. Just how things work right here. And they have the backloaded schedule. They play Baylor, then they play Iowa State, and then, of course, Bedlam to end the season. So I'm not going to sit here on November the 2nd, the first playoff committee rankings, and be pissed off about my team's ranking at number eight, because it's just not going to do any good. Now, if they go out and they lose a game or two, then that just proves they should have not been in the top four right now. But look, they haven't beat they don't have a ranked win on the schedule right now. I know they beat Texas when they were ranked, and I think another team might have been ranked, but I can't remember. But I mean, look, they're at number eight. Every time they've made the playoffs, they've been around. I think I saw a tweet. Their average ranking is number nine. So there's nothing to sit around here and be just pissed off about because OU's ranked out of the top five or out of the top four. So I think, you know, they're the only 9-0 team in the country sitting at number eight. I've already seen a couple of players tweeting. They're not too happy about it, but that's their job to go out there and do something about it, because so far this season, they've really only played like a game or two that has really been worth the shit. So.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that was OU sitting at number eight. It's exactly what you said. If they win out, they're in. Like, it's no fret, no worries, no question. But now they're sitting in a spot where they might only be able to afford to drop one. Maybe not even. And if that one is to Oklahoma State, if they finish out and run the table, and Jake, you obviously are going to talk about that here in a second, because you guys got ranked number 11. You guys are in a better spot to have that one win and go into the playoffs as a Big 12 championship, where I think OU, even if you win the Big 12, I think if you take a loss this late in the season, depending on who it's to, if it's a Baylor or OSU potentially, but if it's to Iowa State, who's not ranked this weekend, and I don't know who else. Is that the last three games right there?
Yeah, because they have bye week this week.
If it's Iowa State, if you lose to Iowa State, I don't know if you can get in as a one-loss Big 12 championship because of where you're sitting right now. And I know that's kind of doesn't really matter, but I think number eight was huge. I think if you guys got ranked over Michigan, you'd have a way better likely chance, because now Michigan's got one loss, and that one loss is on the road to Michigan State. And obviously they got to play the workhorse of Ohio State. Ohio State got ranked at five. I don't know if they put Michigan, they had to put Michigan State above, because Michigan State had a ranked conference win, close game, just this past weekend against Michigan. And of course they got to put them over Ohio State. But I think everyone knows if Ohio State run, I mean, they're going to run the table. It's just, I don't think anyone thinks Michigan State or Michigan are as good. I don't think they're as good as fucking 3-7. I don't think they are. Yeah. I mean, I think Preston, you touched on it last weekend that they probably don't even deserve to be in the top five, top eight, whatever it was. I think that still remains true. I think they've only played the best team they've played is each other. And they're not that great. You know, it was a great game, but they're mediocre teams. That was like super unbiased if you've heard that. But Jake, let's hear your thoughts, because you're sitting at number 11. I mean, I think that's a pretty good spot. You got Baylor right behind you, who you've beat, and they had to put you above them because they respected head-to-head matchups, because they put Oregon above Ohio State, which stupid because Ohio State's the only team Oregon's played. But I guess they got to respect that head to head. You know, I mean, they did that to the ultimate force. But Jake, Oklahoma State, number 11. What do you think?
You know, the thing is honestly, I could be wrong about this, but I think in every poll, we are 11. I think the AP poll, we're 11. The coaches poll, we're 11. The whatever John Boone poll, we're 11. And now the college football playoffs, we're also 11. So, you know, we're just 11 across the board. I guess everybody has consensus. They all just agree we're 11. I'm not really sure about that. There are some weird ones. I think Bama is kind of a weird number two. They really struggled this year. The Florida game, they lost to A&M. I mean, they're giving them a lot of respect. The thing with OU is OU kind of did it to themselves. They trashed the Big 12 in the beginning of the season, and then this is kind of the result of it. I mean, the AP poll has been giving OU a reach around for a century. So, you know, you can't really go off the AP poll, because, you know, you see that every year of OU fans tweeting the AP poll of, oh, the past 50 years or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of strange, weird things here and there. But I'm not too upset about 11. I mean, the thing is I think our schedule was good because we've already got Iowa State out of the way. We've already gotten Baylor out of the way. We've already beaten Texas. So, I mean, really, you know, I think it's for us, you know, it's just don't choke at this moment, just week to week and just finish out. I don't think we will make it. You know, I know you're saying that if we win out and win Big 12, I mean, there's a possibility if it's OU, they run the table and then we beat them twice. I don't know if Baylor runs the table and then we beat Baylor, just because, you know, it was kind of early in the season, but back-to-back Bedlam wins would maybe get us in. It's really tough for Oklahoma State to have one loss to get in the playoff is going to be on the struggle bus, especially with, you know,
they don't have Cincinnati a problem putting a one loss team in though. They clearly don't. They obviously, yeah. Bama is like a different type of one loss team, but still one loss.
It's kind of one of those things though, that it has to comes down to what happens to Georgia and Alabama and the SEC. Yeah. And then what happens to Michigan State and Ohio State and the Big Ten. It's kind of one of those things, because those schools unfortunately have, not Michigan State, not to a certain extent, they just have the name over Oklahoma State. And that's, we've seen it year after year. That's what the playoff committee likes, is the name and the logo on the helmet.
Yeah. And you know, that's a good point about Bama is like, I think if they beat Georgia, even lose to Georgia close on a neutral field, I think they still get in. Right. I mean, a two loss Bama is going to be number four if it's a close game to Georgia. I just think that
maybe Cincinnati, if they run the table, maybe.
No, I don't think they get in. I think it would have to be a monumental collapse for multiple teams for Cincy to get in. I just mentioned it right before we hit record, Preston, Jake, before you joined the chat, is who did I say tweeted out? What am I going on?
Cincinnati. I think it was Brandon Walker. Yeah.
Cincinnati. No, it was Big Ev, actually. A different one. I was about to talk about it. Cincinnati is a team that they're not going to get in. And right before the show, the college football chairman basically said, like, their only impressive win is Notre Dame. Notre Dame's sitting at the first poll in number 10, first college football poll in number 10. That's their only win. Chris Fowler asked him, like, what do you think? Is this a peak? Is this a ceiling for them? And he's like, I'm not going to say it's a ceiling, but like, Who have they beaten? And he's not wrong, but it just shows that they're not going to respect a group of five undefeated over these powerhouses, like you said, that have the name, a Michigan, an Oregon, Michigan State, Ohio State, OU, Bama. All these teams are going to get preference. I mean, yeah, they put them at six, but if they put them in at four or three in the first ranking, they can't move them down unless they lose, you know, unless it, yeah. Like, they really can't. They can't move them out because you're basically saying their schedule isn't strong enough. You might as well just let everyone know week one, like, hey, your schedule ain't strong enough. It ain't happening. And so I kind of get it. It's one of those things, and Jake, you can go ahead, but it's one of those things that we've known it for since College Football Playoff Committee was started, that those group of five teams are not going to get the same respect no matter what. And it just, that shows they're going to have to start scheduling more non-conference big school names.
Yeah, I mean, it's always that big debate in the beginning of the season if people are like, oh, rankings don't matter and all this and blah, 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 just go out and win games. But at the end of the day, when, you know, for a small team, it does matter a lot because it's really hard to climb the ladder. Like, you know, for us, we were unranked coming into the season. So it's hard for us to really climb the ladder. Like, we had to win multiple top 25 games in a row to finally get some respect on our name. I mean, we were dogs in all of them and, you know, ended up winning, you know, except for Iowa State, obviously. But, you know, it's just one of those things that it'll be a debate to the end of time of, do the preseason polls really matter and all of that.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I don't think they do either. I don't.
Not for OU, the only, for Ohio State, yeah. They don't. They
should, the only poll that matters is the one that comes out at the end of the season and who's in the playoffs. Let's be honest. Yeah,
I mean, that is really all that matters. So, I mean, I think, you know, obviously they clearly kind of respect Oregon's win over Ohio State. I mean, rightfully so. They're the top dogs and they took Nell. So when you beat the top dogs, you got to respect it. But I think Oregon, you know, I don't think they have anyone left on their schedule that's going to say, like, but it's the same thing as Cincy. If they put them in now, they can't really take them out unless they lose. Obviously, if they lose close games to like nobody, I mean, they play Washington this weekend, which is, if that's a close game, then I don't know. How do you respect?
Here's the thing about Oregon, though, is that they play in a conference that is so bad that it doesn't matter if an Oklahoma State goes and beats, you know, an OU that's in the top five by the time the end of the season comes around and beats them again in the Big 12 championship, the playoff committee has no choice but to kick Oregon's ass out of there, because what has Oregon done? They beat Ohio State. That's it.
I agree 100%. I think that, you know, it's the same thing. Like, how do you respect Cincy's schedule? It's like, do they respect Oregon's schedule even with a loss better than an undefeated Cincy schedule? I think they do, obviously. But when it comes to those names, like, Oklahoma State is a name in the sense of Power Five. It's a Power Five school still, nonetheless. Like, Cincy's not, and they don't play Power Five schools outside of fucking Notre Dame, who we can't even consider Power Five because they're not in a conference. All right. And they shouldn't even be ranked. I don't think they're definitely not the 10th team in the nation. Wake Forest is, they're rightfully number nine because Notre Dame sucks. I mean, they're just terrible. So Oklahoma State, yeah, you're right. I think they get in over an Oregon, even with that big win over Ohio State. Oklahoma State, if they run the table, they get in as a one-loss Big 12 team over Oregon, 100%, no questions asked. I don't think. I mean, if they got left out, it'd be baffling, especially if, like you said, if OU is number five or, you know what, top eight, if they are eight or higher, and Oregon or Oklahoma State comes in, beats you guys back to back at the end of the year, wins the Big 12 title as a one-loss team, they're in. I mean, it's No questions asked.
It makes me nervous. Actually, it's happened before, you know. But that's the only problem, is it's, you know, like in 2011 with Bama, our schedule was better. We had more top 25 wins, everything about it. The only difference between us was that Bama lost to LSU and we lost to Iowa State. And that's really what it came down to. But I think they had four top 25 wins. We had six top 25 wins. We had more wins on the road. They had, their loss was at home, ours was on the road, and it just came down to stuff like that. So, I mean, I think if we ran the table, we could get in, but it's still one of those coin
tough. No, if you run the table, you're in. You're in the playoffs, 100%. If you run the table, especially if OU is undefeated. Now, if OU is not, then again, yeah, like maybe you don't go in as a one-loss team. But if OU is undefeated, which I assume they're going to be, I said I think everyone's going to take an L. I think the chance is going to be Iowa State, and I think you said you got Baylor left, and obviously Oklahoma State. I think I don't know.
At Waco is going to be a really tough game.
Yeah,
and Iowa State's playing all right, and I mean we are going to be decent. I think Bedlam's going to be a nail biter to the end. So it'll. Oh, you can do it, but it's just one of those things that.
Yeah, I would say at the moment, the one that scares me most is Waco, just because coming off a bye, not quite too sure how the defense is going to play. They got a lot of guys back, and they played all right, you know, last week. But it's just, who knows?
Yeah, they got that big win against Baylor, and then Iowa State kind of they choked against West Virginia, and that was a hell of a win by West Virginia, but.
I mean, it's just one of those things. This weekend, you guys play Baylor, though, Preston?
Yeah, no, bye week this week and then next week at Baylor.
So you're on bye this week. Okay. Well, I mean, if Baylor stays number 12, I mean, that's that. Like you said, you start bolstering your resume because you got top. I mean, I think Iowa State, if Iowa State plays Texas, I don't know if that's going to be considered a good win. I personally don't think so. But if Iowa State beats Texas and a couple other things happen, which there's been top 25 teams losing. I mean, it almost seems like every week. And so if they beat Texas and something else happens, I think they're going to end up being a top 25 team. And then you'll have Baylor as a ranked win. And then if you beat them and then, or as a ranked opponent, I should say, and then Oklahoma State as a ranked opponent. And so, yeah, you're going to end up having probably ranked opponents to finish out the year, which is obviously great for you guys. Did you guys watch the Michigan State Michigan game?
I watched parts of it. Yeah.
That was wild. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, Michigan State got fucking, they were fucking on the fucking refs all game, dude. They got every good call. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm fine with it because I'd rather have them win, but whew, they got every call, dude. They got every call. But that's, Michigan didn't even fall that far. A road loss, close, a ranked loss nonetheless against a rival. Michigan only fell to number 7. And so that's interesting to me. I would have thought they would have fell more. I thought whatever team lost would probably fall out of the top 15. I don't think either of those teams are top 7 teams. I don't think either of them are a top 10 team. They're obviously, it's going to be good for our resume, Ohio State's resume, if they eventually beat both of them, which I think they will, but I don't think either of those teams are a top 10 team by any stretch of the means. Iowa's sitting at number 22. The thing I was talking to Preston about before the show, Jake, was Brandon Walker put a tweet out saying he's a little sad because he thinks that the College Football Playoff Committee only ranked Mississippi State at 17 to give Bama a good win. Like that, I think he said he thinks they only did that just to give him an extra good win. He's like, I'm kind of sad. So I don't know, but Pittsburgh sitting there at number 25, Fresno State. We see that UTSA is not in the top 25, which they are in the AP poll, I believe. AP, yeah. And so that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, all around, it's crazy what the rankings turned out to be. I think a lot of things happened that a lot of people weren't expecting.
Here's a little teaser for you. Oklahoma State has been ranked in every college football playoff ranking since inception, but yet again, we were unranked when the season began. So, you know, just another one
every
of those
first week or every week.
Just every I think every college football playoff ranking we've been in. Like every,
that's impressive. Hey, Preston, come on, let's give him a round of applause. That's actually a cool stat. Come on, so, let's give him a round of applause.
I refuse.
Yeah, so I can't remember the exact. Let me see if I have last week's picks. Yeah, so I had Boise. Well,
before
State
we get to that, we have to hit the biggest story that literally almost broke Twitter last night. The news out of Austin just keeps getting better and better every week. And Pole Assassin, her and her pet monkey, the special teams coordinator or coach, whatever you want to call him, Jeff Banks. Leaves his wife, marries a stripper whose stripper name is Pole Assassin, has a pet monkey, an emotional support monkey at that, who ends up biting a kid on
allegedly.
Halloween.
Allegedly.
Well, no, she basically screwed herself and tweeted through it last night and basically said, yeah, the kid got bit by the monkey. So,
oh, did she?
Yeah. So shout out to Pole Assassin and her pet monkey terrorizing the city of Austin. this weekend on Halloween, almost burnt Twitter down last night. Everyone making fun of the University of Texas, which I love to do. So,
yeah. And you know what? That's one of those things. Like I think we said it in right after Red Rivalry, maybe before Red River Rivalry game, that it's one of those things, like it's universal where if you're not a Texas fan, you just all come together and it's like, it's a thing. You just come together. Everyone does it. We all love it. Anytime something like this happens where you can just shit on Texas and laugh at them. Like it almost is like the great uniter. You know, it's like if you had to sign a declaration of peace, it would be like, all right, one of the asterisks would be like, we all hate Texas. Longhorns, not the state.
I mean, bro, the story is just so wild. It's a failure of imagination. Like, you can't even come up with something like that.
Jake, I know, Jake, I know you love that story. When that broke, I know you were just like, holy fuck.
Well, the funny thing about this story is that, like, OU fans have known about this pole assassin lady since, like, Jeff Banks was hired at A&M just because all of that stuff. So it's finally like funny to like have the whole entire college football world find out that Jeff Banks left his wife and married a stripper named Pole Assassin. It's just absolutely the best story that, you know, has come out of the state of Texas.
It has to happen to a coach where he went through some stuff himself, you know, not just the coach, but Sark. It's under Sark's regime, you know, it's Sark's regime.
Yeah.
So it's just hilarious all the way around.
And the funny thing is they chose to not hire Mike Stoops over this guy. Like, they were going to hire Mike Stoops. The boosters said no down there in Austin, and they hired this guy, Jeff Banks, instead. So, like, it's just a big, like, shit show that's usual down in Austin, and I love every minute of it.
I love it, too. Jake, what did you think when you saw that? Because, like, I know you had to have been, like, on your fucking just high horse. Not, like, high horse, just being, like, laughing your ass off at being, like, what the... Like you said, you can't come up with this.
Oh, yeah. I thought, I was like, dude, there's just no way that it's not true. Because I was like, that's, like, the most crazy story that you can come up with. But, I mean, I was a little late on the story. I know you guys texted me and showed it to me, and then I opened up Twitter, and then it was just monkeys, dude. Like, yeah. I mean, pages and pages of monkeys. I mean, that was the best part of it.
Crazy is one of the fucking players back in August tweeted out, I want a pet monkey.
And one of the coaches was like, no, you don't.
Yeah, it comes all full circle. It's just, that's so hilarious. He was probably hanging out. The coach brought the monkey around with his girlfriend or whatever, wife, whatever she is. And he's like, I kind of want one too now. That's just hilarious. That's so funny.
If you're late to the story, Billy Football with Barstool has done like a review of it, a timeline of all of it. And if you're an OU fan or a person in the Oklahoma City area, I'm sure you follow Eddie Radosovich. Yep. He put out a nice report earlier on Twitter today about it. So check all that out and get up to date on Pole Assassin and Gia, her pet monkey.
That's crazy. Another thing that I think is kind of a sidetrack, but another thing I think everyone can get it behind, and this is not just one team versus everyone or the world. It's actually like the world versus an institution. Can we all, like how we all do horns down, can we all just do a big fuck you to the NCAA because they fucking suspended Kofi Cockburn or whatever from Illinois for three games because he sold merch of his own before the NIL deal and he donated the money to a fucking charity. So he's getting suspended for three games. It happened like 2 weeks before the NIL became a thing and they're suspending him for three games. Mark Few Too Many up in fucking Gonzaga drove like under the influence and is only getting one game. So fuck you to the NCAA. That's such bullshit. Honestly, I had to say that. That's such bullshit.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have anything to say on that?
That reminds me kind of the one that pissed me off. Well, it was a real long time ago. It was Jimmy V. Jimmy V bought like baby formula for one of his players, had a kid, and the NCAA striked them for it and stuff. And everybody's like,
they're such a
dude feeding the kids. Like,
they're such a bullshit institution. It's fucked. Anyway. Let's go and talk about last week's picks, what we went, and then we'll get into this week's picks and some other stuff. I actually got some news I got to talk to you guys about. I got to have it like a, we're going to go in when we do the next segment with NFL and NBA and stuff. We got to have a secret talk, the three of us. But let's get into last week's picks. I went 2-1. That puts me at 20-13 on the year. I went 2-1. I had my camera just went out. It'll be back in a second. I had Boise State -2.5. They took a win. Georgia -14 over Florida. That was a dub. And SMU took an L at +1 against Houston. They actually just lost that game like by fucking a lot. So I'm at 20-13 on the year, 2-1 on the week. What did you go, Preston?
I went, unfortunately, I went 1-2 last week. Not good. Back to my under 500 ways. I am now 14-15 on the season, but I had the over 62 in that Cincy versus Tulane game. It turned out that week one, Tulane showed up to play Cincinnati there for a little bit and did not hit the over in that one. I did, however, hit the over 66.5 in the OU versus Texas Tech game. Thank you, Caleb Williams, for tying an OU freshman record there with 5 touchdowns. Or was it 6? I can't remember. One of the two.
It was 6, yeah.
And then I had the under 50.5 in the Michigan versus Michigan State game. And I think that running back there for Michigan State hit that himself. So.
Yeah, I actually took that as well. Not on the show, but like with money, well, some real money. Yeah. I actually took that pick as well. I kind of liked that from you. But yeah, it didn't hit because I think I got it at 51.5. It was just a little higher because I got it after the show. And yeah, it didn't hit. So what did that put you in the year?
I am 14-15. So one game under 500.
14-15. Jake, what are you at? What did you go on the week and how'd your picks you? Let everyone know.
Oh, you know, just keeping up the trend of being terrible this year. I went 1-2. I took a game day like I do every week, which I took Michigan. Michigan State ended up winning. So obviously that didn't hit. The one game finally OU covered, I took Texas Tech +20, even though I knew they fired their coach, which I was like, yeah, but Texas Tech screwed me. And then I faded Tulsa and then they actually almost went to overtime, or did they go to overtime? I remember it was a crazy game. I watched it, but I can't recall exactly what the score was, but I had Navy +11. So that obviously hit. So that was one. I went 1-2 and I'm 9-16 with a push overall.
Wow. All right. So we are going to I am just going to have to redo a whole segment we did like 2 weeks ago because I forgot to put it out and it was all jumbled. Right here, right now, starting boom. This season, I need you to vote on one of these two options. You're going to see this on Twitter. You're going to see it on Instagram, TikTok, wherever you see this or hear this. I need you to vote on two options. The loser, Jake, probably is going to have to either drink nasty flavored soda that we get up from that pops up in wherever it is, up in Edmond or whatever, or we're going to get some nasty flavored jelly beans and the loser has to eat some nasty flavor, like 3 or 5 or whatever's in like a little pack, a fun pack of nasty flavored or random flavored jelly beans. Vote on this, please. Hit the vote button. And if you do want to vote, but you have a different idea, put it in the comments below, whether it be on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, comment and let us know what you think the other option should be. But for right now, it's going to be nasty flavored soda or nasty flavored jelly beans. Vote on that. Going into week 10.
Do you want to talk about the OU Texas Tech or OSU Kansas?
Let's do that real quick. We got 10 minutes on this segment of Zoom meetings and we'll get into some picks. So yeah, how was that? I mean, you kind of, I feel like Preston, you don't have much to say on the game because, well, maybe you do actually because of the Spencer Rattler thing, but 6 touchdowns by Caleb Williams. I think that's just like, all right, like it's almost a non-talking point because they just did what they should be doing.
Yeah, it's like the first game all season that they actually did their job and went out and won a game on both sides of the ball. They moved Key Lawrence from safety to cornerback, which I think really is something that had worked for them very well. And I think they should keep doing going forward. He was able to, you know, shut down some of those receivers. And I'm just kind of sick and tired of having to watch Monday nights and seeing OU defensive backs on You Got Mossed. So I would really appreciate if they didn't do that anymore. But on offense, I mean, they had things going. Tech shut down the run game and Lincoln Riley said, all right, we're just going to throw it all over the yard on you guys. And that's what they did. had two receivers with 100 receiving yard or 100 yards receiving. Williams threw 6 touchdowns. Rattler came in 5 for 5, a touchdown. Looked like the Spencer Rattler at the end of last year. I don't know what that needed. I don't know what this guy I'm getting benched. I don't know what it is with him, but anyways, you know, OU wins there. That's basically what I have to say.
I do have something to say on Spencer Rattler. I don't see like OU fans shit on him. Not you, Preston. I know you didn't really shit on him, but OU fans in general, I mean, you've probably seen it, shit on Spencer Rattler, and he comes back, makes one fucking little drive as a play, and they propped him up. They prop him up again like he's a new recruit, being like, this is the second coming of Jesus, and then they put him back on the bench. It's like, what do they do? Like, what are OU fans doing? I mean, I don't get it. I know it's not you specifically, Preston, but as a whole, I don't get the whole OU fandom or fan base with the weird connection that they have with Spencer Rattler. It's weird. It's a weird, like, love hate that everyone has amongst each other.
I think it's one of those things that he got recruited for so long and was supposed to come in and be like, you know, the next Baker Mayfield / Kyler Murray, and ended up, you know, towards the end of last season, he looked like he was trending, you know, that way, going to go into this year and, you know, contend for a national championship, and then, you know, obviously just shit the bed. But I mean, I think now that, you know, he's for sure the backup and Caleb Williams is going out there and getting, you know, weekly awards every single week, I think that's something that you'll see less and less, because the next couple of games, if Rattler sees any time, it's because Caleb Williams got hurt.
Yeah. I don't have nothing to disagree with that. I don't think he's coming back for a significant position unless an injury happens. Jake, homecoming, greatest homecoming in America. How was it? What did you think? You blew out KU. No other team that is on this podcast has done that this year. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, greatest homecoming is a centennial 100 years. Spent some time a little bit with Dr. Strum and Chad Weidberg, and, you know, did the walk around and saw a little bit of the basketball team coming up. But, you know, with Kansas, I mean, we were full in just disrespect and families mode. So, you know, the thing was, is I think in the second quarter, we had 24 points and Kansas had 26 yards. So the thing is it's the first time that I don't think I stood the entire second quarter, maybe for a half a second to clap for Shane Illingsworth to play the whole second half, and then Ethan Bullock. And then OSU, the game can be summed up with, they were giving me memories I didn't even know I had. Like, I think we played Jaden Nixon, who is, I can't even remember, 6th or 7th on the depth chart, or like, you know, I was sitting there like, oh yeah, I remember that kid. I was like, I know, I heard about him, but I was like, man, like it turned out
to be who you thought he'd be, huh?
Well, it was just one of those things where it's like, man, like 38-0 at halftime, and there was just no hope. You just saw Kansas just, they completely quit in that whole.
Do you
second
think
half.
You play you beat Kansas better than OU did?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, dude, is like, I can't sit here and beat my chest because it's Kansas, because it's like, dude, they're so bad. Like when I say so bad, they are so bad.
Like no team should struggle against them, right?
No, dude, that's absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable to struggle with a team like that. Well, also, you know, I think it's homecoming. We're coming off a loss, and we really we kind of did them dirty. But, you know, which is crazy, I have it in my notes that we haven't talked about yet, dude. I was interested to get you guys' opinion, is Gary Patterson got fired.
Yeah, let's actually get into that. When we restart our segment, let's get into the Gary Patterson. Okay. But real quick, let's actually get our picks in just to get them fresh on the energy. And then we'll open up the next. We'll come back with, I mean, you as a viewer or listener doesn't know, but for us, we'll come back in as with Gary Patterson. But let's get our week 10 picks in real quick. I'm going to go first, just knock them out. I'm taking Wake Forest +2.5 against UNC, number 9 in the first college playoff rankings this week. I do think it is a letdown game, because I think Wake Forest are like, you expect them to lose. Like you don't expect them to go undefeated. They shouldn't be number 9, like in the grand scheme of things, but that could be a letdown game. But I'm going to take them at +2.5. I think they get at least one more win out of them before their team, the depth chart in the season starts playing a toll. SMU, I'm going to try taking them again this week. I don't think they go 2 losses in a row, especially against Memphis. minus five. This week, West Virginia, Oklahoma State game. I'm taking -3, Oklahoma State. I just think you guys are going to end up running the table into Bedlam, and end up being just one loss into Bedlam. And then Iowa State, -6.5 against Texas. I mean, let's just be honest. Texas having a bad week. It's not going to stop now. It's going to stop Sunday morning. Maybe not even stop. Just, you know, it's going to reset Sunday morning. They're going to continue to have a bad week. So -6.5 Iowa State, -3 Oklahoma State, -5 SMU, and +2.5 Wake Forest. Preston, you hit us with your week 10 picks.
Yeah, I have the over 66 in the Bama versus LSU game. I think that one should hit. And then I won't really talk too much about the next two picks because, unfortunately, you have the same game. So OSU -3 versus West Virginia, I have that. And then I also have SMU -5 versus Memphis. SMU's been good to me this year, so I'm going to keep riding them. Those are my picks this week.
Gotcha,
Jake. Wow. Both of you guys took Oklahoma State. That makes me nervous. But, yeah, so typical, I always take a Friday game. So I'm taking Virginia Tech against Boston College -3. I think Virginia Tech's a pretty good team. I mean, Boston College is not bad, but Virginia Tech, I believe, is just a little bit better. Should be able to get the win there. And then, honestly, like I said earlier with Gary Patterson leaving TCU, I'm taking Baylor 6.5. I think TCU is the time for them to collapse, just kind of like Texas Tech did. And then I know I shouldn't do this. This is a horrible decision. If you should fade this pick, but I'm taking Tulsa +22.5 against Cincy. Cincy played really bad last week. Tulsa played bad, but Tulsa somehow, some way always gets a little sneaky thing, and it's college game day. Maybe they get juiced up for the game and make it somewhat close. Yeah. Yeah. College game day is at Cincinnati. First time in history.
Wow.
I
was just about to ask you what your game day pick was. So that answers it. All right. That is our week 10 picks. It looks like Preston and I are riding the train together this week for the most part. He's got two of my four picks. And what was your other pick, Preston? What was that third one? That over?
The over in the Bama LSU game.
Gotcha. Yeah, that, I could see that one hitting. But yeah, so we're both riding SMU -5 and Oklahoma State -3. I just think, you, like you said, for SMU, they've been riding for you, but I just think it's like one of those games. They're not going to lose two in a row. They just don't seem like a team to do that. And Oklahoma State, I just think they do go into Bedlam as a one-loss team. So we're going to get right into NFL right now. All right. As you can see, Preston had to bounce from the show. He had some stuff to take care of. We're going to keep the show rolling into some NFL and some NBA talk and some other things. But I got a random fucking thing I got to ask you about, Jake. And this happened right before the show as I was eating dinner with my lovely girlfriend, Caroline. She fucking said something that threw me off way out. I don't know what the hell was going on. I fucking almost thought I was dreaming or something. She said that Greek yogurt is basically sour cream. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I've not heard that.
I have not either. So if you don't have much to say, we'll carry on.
I know that there's like bacteria in yogurt, which is kind of weird.
All right. If that's the only thing that you know is a similarity, then we'll just fucking move on. But that was a wild thing. I didn't think I'd hear there's something. I didn't even know I was going to hear that today. Let's talk about Gary Patterson, because that was an interesting thing that happened this week. Gary Patterson out at TCU, effective immediately as of what, Monday?
Yeah. Done dirty, dude. I mean, here's the thing, is Gary Patterson was the second longest tenured coach in all of college football. I think he coached there 18 years. I mean,
he was 20
or 20. Yeah. 20 years. So, he's right there behind the Iowa coach. And, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, they have a statue of him outside. Like, how do you fire somebody in the middle of the season? You got a statue of him. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Gary got done real dirty, like in the middle. It's so weird. I mean, I do think that the Texas Tech and TCU thing were both, they're gunning for the guy at SMU.
Gotcha.
What's his name? Dykes. Yeah, I think it's Dykes, which he was a big Texas Tech. I think his dad was a big Texas Tech guy or something like that. And they're both going for him. But either way, I mean, you can't have a coach for 20 years and then just kick him to the curb halfway through the season. That's just insane.
There's
that would have been, if it wasn't for Pole Assassin, that would have been the biggest news story. but you know,
yeah. I mean, on a that pole assassin to the Gary Patterson news is what the John Gruden situation was to Urban Meyer situation. Urban Meyer got off scot-free almost because something way worse was going on, like with John Gruden and stuff. Allegedly, I don't know anything that's like fucking factual. I'm not trying to get into that. But yeah, I mean, that pole assassin story was way out of left field. I never even thought I'd wake up to seeing a text like that. But hey, I love that shit, especially when it happens to Texas. You know they're down bad. I think Iowa State's going to put the hammer to them. I think Texas is like, they're realizing they're frauds.
I think that game will be close.
I think Iowa State fucking runs the table on them.
They should. I mean, Texas is demoralized right now, especially that loss with Baylor, which Baylor's a good team though. So, I mean, it's one of those tough things of, you know, it's kind of up in the air. So we'll see what happens though.
Yeah. I want to move on and talk some NFL real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit of NBA. And then I'm going to give you and the listeners a little bit more of a teaser than I kind of gave Preston in the middle of our break that we had of during recording. What the hell are the Broncos doing paying $9 million out of the $9.8 million of Von Miller's contract for him to go play somewhere else? I mean, Denver Broncos traded Von Miller to the LA Rams for a second and a third round pick. And they're going to pay LA Rams $9 million to pay for part of his most of his contract. I mean, what are they? Well, the fucking LA Rams, Sean McVay, he doesn't even believe in draft picks anymore. I mean, I sent you a meme earlier, I think, to you and one of our other friends, Joe, that said basically it's like they don't believe in draft picks. Like they just said they drafted Jared Goff and it didn't work out. And they're like, fuck it, we're just never going to draft again. And I think that's totally accurate. But it's also one of those things like that might be the move that teams start doing, because it's clear that like if you just get veteran players for those draft picks, you're probably going to be more successful than having to develop those players. Hey, it's working out for them. Obviously, they haven't won the fucking Super Bowl yet, but in terms of like consistent good teams, they're putting out consistently good teams. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp's putting up Megatron type numbers, which is insane. But it kind of shows like Matthew Stafford will just get it done as long as he's got someone around him that he can fucking throw to. Cooper Kupp's that guy. I mean, he's just that guy. I wish Preston would have been able to stay on because Chargers, big frauds. I think they're big frauds. I mean, maybe not Justin Herbert, but Chargers, they fucking suck. I almost had a huge win. Jake, I'm sorry. I'm about to just rant. You're on the shit end of the stick now because I'm about to just rant. I got my notes in front of me and I took a big L this weekend. I had a fucking prop bet, not a big L in terms of the prop wasn't huge. It was only a $5 prop bet, but you got to think it was 7 parlay prop bet. It was Jamar Chase to score a touchdown, the running back out of New York Jets, fucking, I can't remember his last name, for him to get like 56 yards, which he got, for Joe Mixon to get a touchdown, for Joe Burrow to get three passing touchdowns, and for Joe Burrow to get 302 passing yards. He missed out on like 45 yards. And then I needed him to get 45 yards. And I think it's the tight end for Cincy, I don't know exactly how to pronounce his name. I needed him to score a touchdown and Joe Burrow to get 45 yards to turn a $5 prop parlay bet into 627. And I fucking missed out by that little. I was so fucking pissed. And since he got big fucked because they fucking had there was some penalty. I think it was pass interference or something where it's just like that. It just wasn't a pass interference. But shout out Matt White or Mike White or whatever out of fucking Western Kentucky University quarterback that got fucking went to the Jets somehow. I don't even know if he got drafted late or what, but he put up like the most, he put up 405 yards of passing. Insane.
He's been Zach there Wilson, for like 4 years.
Four years or 4 seconds. No one knows. No one knows who the guy is. No one knows who this guy is. No.
Yeah. Oh, some dude had a prop at Mike White to lead the passing for this week in the NFL. And it was $1,000. He put $1,000 to win 125 grand.
Wow. In a hit?
And I'm pretty sure because well, it was Monday. Yeah, I wasn't did. Sure. It was up to the Monday night game. If the Monday okay. night, if somebody threw more than 400 yards Monday night, then
he didn't. Last night, but, no, the Giants fucking fumbled the bag. They could have beat the fucking. I had the Giants, dude. The Giants. But the Chiefs, they should have lost the game. I didn't watch the last quarter or so because I was fucking tired. From what I was gathering from the Clem report, shout out Clem and some other Giants fans I follow, is the Giants just fumbled it. I mean, not literally fumbled the ball, but they just like dropped the game. They dropped it. Yeah.
It was sad though. I'll say about the Von Miller thing. I watched the video of him leaving. They caught him leaving the parking lot because Von always said he wanted to retire as a Bronco and he was just, you know, bleeds orange and blue. And he was like tearing up, crying like I didn't know that this was going to happen.
That's how great of a city Denver is. I've been saying it. Yeah. Rocky Mountain High. Denver is fucking lit, dude. Denver's the best fucking city I've ever been to. And I've been to quite a few cities. Not quite a few. I've been to a few fucking nice cities. Denver's the best in my opinion. And so I get it. He probably is like, fuck. But hey, you're still going to California. They got legal weed out there. And so you'll be able to at least buy some and like, you know, risk it. But in Denver, it's like fucking, it's like religion out there. Unlike Utah where the religion is wild. speaking of wild things that are similar to religion, which is religion is like follower based. You're dedicated. You don't really deviate. Speaking of deviation and denouncing fandoms, I am considering denouncing my fandom to a certain team and realigning myself with a new team in a certain league.
Oh, wow.
And I think I'm going to announce that next week. What do you think of that, Jake? I know I'm not giving much details, but what would you say to that? I never in my life thought I would do it too. I have my reasons. I think if I lay them out properly, I think people will understand. But yeah, I never thought I'd come to this too, but I think I am going to be recusing myself from a fandom of a certain team and realigning with a different team.
That's interesting. Because I just can't. I mean, that's wild. That's an insane thing. I don't know if I could ever do that. I mean, it has to be something. And it can't be, this is what's going through my head. Can't be Ohio State and it can't be the Yankees. Those two are just too solid in your mind. So it's got to be something else. Probably I'm thinking NHL or something, but it really could be anything at this point. But yeah, I mean that maybe NBA, maybe it's NBA. That's probably what it is. You're probably going to renounce the Lakers and be a Thunder fan or something crazy like that.
Just on the premise of what I'm considering as a fan of teams and specifically one, what do you think of that? Like when you hear that, like, what do you think as a fan to another fan? Like this is, I'm in the trust tree right now. I'm in the trust tree.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, that's why I'm such a big college fan is because in 100 years, Oklahoma State will always be in Stillwater. Doesn't matter, you know, what league they play in or whatever thing like that. Like they're not going to pick up and leave. And when you get into pro sports, I was talking about this the other day with somebody. Imagine being, you know, a St. Louis Rams fan, and then they pick up and they fucking move to LA.
We talked about that on whatever. The show.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I kind of get it if it's pro sports because you don't really technically have ties to that organization. And at any moment, that organization can just pick up and be gone. So, you know, when it comes to pro sports, I kind of get it. But college is like blasphemy if you switch teams in college.
I will say I'm not leaving the Ohio State. That's kind of why I wore this hat. I wanted to make sure that was clear. And I'm not even saying that what I'm talking about is going to happen. It's something I am considering. It's something I've thought about the last couple days. Maybe it popped up in my mind a couple weeks ago. But it's something that I think would be a fair reason for me to do so. But if you're listening, if you're watching, I would like you to comment at the Bakus here on Twitter or in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, what you think of this decision, what you think of this possible fandom realignment I'm having, of this potential fandom realignment I might be pursuing. What you think of that situation, what you would do if one of your friends were going through that, going through a tough fandom period, I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. It's been weighing on me. I'll tell you what, it's been weighing on me like a ton of bricks the last couple of days, especially after last night, which if this all comes to fruition, everyone will see and maybe you'll know why. But one thing specifically, if one thing in my personal life, if one thing specifically happens, this will most likely continue and be solidified as I will probably have a fandom realignment happening in my life, which I never thought, like Jake, I said, I'd never thought in my life I would ever have that happen. But I think there's come a time where I have to bet for the future and also honor what I grew up honoring, if you will. I want to toss that out there. So Preston, if you're listening, I know I told you I would wait till next week, but I kind of have to give the listeners a little tease and kind of like just put the idea out there. So if you're following, if you see this clip on Twitter or something, or if you're listening to this podcast and you see me talking about it on Twitter, let me know your thoughts, please. Let me know your thoughts on keep saying conference realignment. That's just so in my head. Fandom realignment, potentially happening in my life at the Bakus here on Twitter. Jake, I need a Josh. Let's actually talk about the NBA. Now that I mentioned it way earlier that we were talking about the NFL and NBA, Josh Giddey, I needed him to get 20 points, 6 rebounds and 6 assists. He got 15 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Cause I had a fucking prop parlay for him and he didn't hit it. And I would have put out basically that spiel I just gave. I would have condensed that into a Twitter post and put a teaser out if he would have hit that. Do with that. With that, what you will, I don't know if you want to take that for, you know, a hint or whatever, but
here's what I have to say about that game is that if the Thunder were a playoff team,
I had money on the money line too, by the way. I had money on OKC Thunder money line. They missed by 4 points and they were, I think, like 11 point dogs. So.
Well, the thing is, I think we were up 9 with like 4 minutes to go or 5 minutes to go or something like that. I mean, what I was going to say is that if we're a playoff team, like they would have got roasted today for, you know, Beverly having that turnover late and, you know, just sloppy play. And I mean, just choking like that is just unacceptable to a team that, you know, the Clippers, I think, are struggling right now. I think PG really carried them, but, you know, honestly, dude, if PG doesn't play well, the Clippers kind of struggle. Like they're not looking the best. Yeah, dude, and
they were going into the night. They had the same record as OKC going into that game last night. They had the same record as OKC. They were 1-5 or 1-6. Like they were favored by like quite a few. And I think the money line, OKC was like, I almost want to say they were like plus 200 or 300. I'd have to double check my, cause I actually put money on the game. But like it was a little bit far off and I was like, wait a second, like Clippers aren't much better than OKC. Like they really on paper, they don't look much better and Kawhi is out. So of course they're definitely not much better because Kawhi is out. And so, I don't know. I just put a little money on OKC. I don't know. What else you got to talk about, Jake?
Other than Gary getting what happened. But, I mean, it was a pretty crazy week. We didn't talk about when I left the podcast, I got hosed, but we didn't really host.
Wait, let's talk about that. I don't remember that.
You don't remember? I had to leave early in the podcast one time.
Yeah.
And then you guys hosed me right when I left. And then now Preston leaves and we didn't really hose Preston, even though Preston didn't get the sneak peek, you know, thing that you got going on. But
also I don't know, like, I don't know if you've gotten this far, you probably already heard the segment, but I mean, we kind of did hose Preston kind of to his face. Cause you washed the fucking dishes with the fucking KU. You guys fucking took it to the dry cleaners. I mean, yeah. Oh, you didn't do that. Neither has Ohio State. Only one team on this podcast has blown out Kansas this year, and only two teams have played them.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, dude, is like, it's Kansas. Like, it's one of those things that's, I mean, the thing about OU is really like, because they have Oklahoma on that chest and they get respect, like, they honestly shouldn't be ranked very high. Like, all these OU fans were freaking out about the eighth ranking, but it's like, who have you beaten and by how much? You know, like, you really struggled all year. The only team you blew out is Texas Tech when they fired a coach. Like, it's not the most impressive win ever.
Yeah. You know? And, I think it's a proper ranking because, like Preston said, if they win out, they're in.
They're backloaded. So, I mean,
if they win out, they're in. But I think if Ohio State wins out, they're in. If Ohio State wins out and Oregon wins out, Oregon's probably going to have to get put in, huh? I mean, they're clearly respecting.
Yeah, if Oregon wins, well, that's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about being ranked where they are right now is that basically if they win out, they're automatically in because they already in. So, but you can't. It's so hard to drop them if they don't lose, and then Ohio State just smokes everybody. I mean, the good thing about Ohio State is you got Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. I do think if Oregon only wins out, but they're all like insanely close, like, because the eye test matters. The eye test, it's been proven before. Ohio State got in based off eye test. What was it, 2018 or whatever, 2019? Ohio State got in based off the eye test. So that is a factor. If Oregon only wins by very, very, if Oregon wins out, but they're all ugly wins, they're all completely terrible. Like, clearly they shouldn't have won them.
Didn't you get in? You got in last year with, and then it was the controversy if you didn't play enough games to make the Big Ten.
Yeah, but we can say that about a lot of fucking teams. We could say that we could be like, well, Bama didn't really win because Bama played like teams that they had players that didn't even play. And so like it was a whole I don't even count last year. But yeah, I mean Ohio State's gotten in based off the eye test before. So I think if Oregon or my point is Oregon can get left out if it's based off the eye test clearly. Like it would have to be like clear. But I do think if they went out handily, they're probably gonna get in over Ohio State. But they could both get in. They could Ohio State and Oregon could both get in easily.
I mean the real wrench in the whole thing is if Bama loses. If Bama loses to Georgia, they're basically out. Georgia's in. And then I don't think anybody from the ACC is getting in. So you have the one SEC team and then Oregon maybe. So you'd have one Pac-12 team.
We should have done this with Preston. What do you think is going to be the Final Four? Just on a whim, first week of college playoff football rankings, who do you think is the Final Four as of right now?
Yeah, I think Bama wins out. They find a way to do it.
Just give me your top four, whatever you think the scenario is. Like here, I'll say, for example, I think it's going to be Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, OU.
Yeah, I think it will be Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oregon.
No, I think if Oregon and Ohio State are in, if they're both in the playoffs, I think they're ranked 2 and 3. I think the committee will make them play each other, and then it'll be like, all right,
in the order.
I think it will be if Oregon and Ohio State both get in, they will play each other in the first round because it will be like, all right, one of you two should be here. Prove yourself to which one it should be.
Here's your problem though: if Bama and Georgia both make it, how do you rank them?
Yeah, I know. If Bama and Georgia's both make
only
it.
Loss would be to Bama, who you would think theoretically would be number one. So then Georgia would have to be number two because their only loss is to Bama in the SEC title game against the number one team in the country.
Yeah, that would make it tough too. That would make it tough. Then Oregon would have to play Georgia and Bama would have had to play Ohio State in that scenario.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Georgia and Bama right now are looking good. I think if Bama can win out, then both Georgia and Bama get in. I think Ohio State can get in. And obviously Oregon is looking the best right now. OU is sketchy. I mean, that schedule in the back half is so hard. And if you just, all they have to do is drop one game and they're out. A one loss OU team. Well, I just think the thing is they have no good non-conference wins and their whole schedule is super close. So yeah. You're going to go back and look at Tulane and you're going to go back and look at Kansas and look at these teams. Like, you guys barely skated by all this. Like, the eye test is bad. That's the big problem with OU right now, is your eye test is terrible.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, speaking of terrible, the ending of this podcast is going to be terrible. It's going to be kind of a nonchalant ending. Be sure to subscribe, like, follow the podcast here on YouTube. If you're watching, Spotify, if you're listening, hit that subscribe button, whatever it is, for whatever fucking platform you're listening and following us on. Please, please, please. It actually does help. Follow me on Twitter at The Bakus here. Follow Jake on Twitter at Jake Cart. He has been tweeting more and I do like it. And follow Preston Poole at Preston Poole 405 on Twitter. Jake, real quick, let me hear your picks again.
I have Friday night game, Virginia Tech -3 against Boston College. I have Baylor -6.5 against TCU. And I have Tulsa +22.5 for Cincinnati game day.
Alrighty. I got SMU -5, Oklahoma State -3. Preston also has both of those picks. I have Wake Forest +2.5 at UNC and Iowa State -6.5 at Texas. I think Preston also took the over in that Baylor game. I think that's what he said.
Over Bama LSU.
Bama. That's right. Yeah. Over and Bama LSU. So he took over Bama LSU -5 SMU and -3 Oklahoma State. That's a big game. We may have a guest next week. May not. And also, yeah, next week, probably going to have either no announcement or a big announcement. And so be sure to stay tuned, follow us, subscribe. Thank you guys for watching. Thanks for listening. Peace. That's it. Really? I don't know. I don't even want to wrap up the show. I kind of want to fucking ramble, but you know, got to wrap it up at some point. That point is now.
Yeah.